Welcome to the R7 podcast, sponsored by M is Good. R7 is an innovative, God-inspiring process that explores personal and professional purpose. R7 analyzes seven strategies to transform your vision and find direction in your organizational marketing. R7 establishes clarity and guidance for the gift we call life. This is my destiny. Welcome back to the R7 podcast. Today, as most weeks, we get into, you know, R7, destiny, vision, strategy, brand, communication. And then step six is prayer. Sometimes we talk about thinking or meditating, but really prayer on steps one through five. And then step seven, take action. And today on the podcast, I'm so excited to have Gray Granny from the Voice of Judah Israel. He's going to bring us a phenomenal story about prayer, how it's affected his life, and how it really helps him establish the future of what God's called him to do. So welcome to the podcast, Greg.
Appreciate it. Nice to be on it.
And of course, we got our sidekick, David Bennett, here as well. And so we are super pumped to talk to you about really the benefits of prayer. And I've got a long list here, Greg, of, you know, really having a relationship with God. You know, when you have a good prayer life, you have a good relationship with God. When you are, you know, when you are praying daily, weekly, sometimes hourly, you know, you're able to really see God's loving nature through prayer. You know, prayer provides answers. Prayer gives direction in your life. Prayer helps you avoid temptation. Prayer aligns you with God's will. Prayer invites the Holy Spirit in. And just as a side note, years ago, I was really kind of trying to understand the Holy Spirit. Like there's a secret out there, a door you can unlock, you know, to understand the Holy Spirit. And I think this is something that's, you know, really, really hard to do. But I attempted to kind of lay out the steps of what it takes to hear from the Holy Spirit and started this brand called HSI, or Holy Spirit Intelligence. And so I'd love to hear your thoughts on that as we get going. And then, you know, prayer helps you become more like Jesus. You know, I think a mentor of mine said years ago, like, if I'm walking by the mirror in my bathroom and I could see just a glimpse of Jesus, you know, I think a lot of times we see ourselves as something different than Jesus, you know, and if we could see a glimpse, how powerful that would be. But I'm excited to welcome you to the podcast. I'm excited to get into what prayer means to you. So let's just, if we can, I would love, Dave, if you could open us up in prayer. It wouldn't be a podcast without prayer if you didn't open up with prayer. So if you don't mind, just open us up. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I would love to. And I'm sure there are people that are like, you guys need a whole lot more prayer by listening to your podcasts. All right. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to get together today and talk about this idea and this thought of talking to you. And you talk about it so many times in your word, how powerful prayer is. A mentor of mine used to say that prayer is the most powerful thing in the world. It's the most power we have at our fingertips and at our lips. And God, I just can't wait to hear the stories we're going to get from today. So just thank you for your faithfulness. And let's go. Thank you, God, for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord. So, Greg, if you don't mind just sharing as, you know, as intimate, as transparent as you want to get about your prayer life, that would be awesome. Let's just start there. I know you've shared your story on different broadcasts over the years, but if you don't mind just giving us a taste of your prayer life and how it's helped you.
Yeah, so it's really cool because some of the things that you said at the beginning, it all talks about relationship. To have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, to have a relationship with God, starts feeding into all of those areas that you just talked about. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I picture it this way. It's like, imagine getting married and you're standing up there going through all the vows and everything with your wife. And the pastor gets done. He has you turn around and he introduces you for the very first time, Mr. and Mrs. X. And as husband and wife, you walk down the aisle. You go through the doors and you go to the left and your brand new wife goes to the right and you never talk to each other again. Not much of a relationship. And yet that's what we do a lot of times when we become a Christian. we think, okay, I said the prayer of salvation, I'm good. And we don't build that relationship with the Lord. We just go a different direction. And prayer for me is all about that relationship. It's knowing who God is. It's knowing who Jesus is in our lives and how the Holy Spirit works through us. And if we don't pray, we don't build that relationship, and we don't know who the Lord is and how he works in us and through us and for us. And it's crazy. And I have people that they're like, they'll say, well, I'm afraid that I'll make a mistake. Well, that's okay. Make a mistake. The more mistakes you make, the better it is, because then you learn the difference between the flesh talking and the Holy Spirit talking. You know, after a while, after a few mistakes, you go to make a decision and you're like, oh, wait a minute. That's my voice. That's the flesh. So I'm not going to do that. Or you'll hear another voice and you'll be like, that's the Holy Spirit, because I remember what that sounds like. And you start making really good decisions, and it's all about relationship, and it starts tying into those. And it took me a long time to get there. And the Lord really put me through a lot of physical things. Just real quick, 2006, I went into cardiac arrest and my heart raced up to 300 beats a minute, and I passed out and was able to get a hold of my wife. She came and picked me up and took me home. And I fell dead on our front porch. She started CPR. The ambulance came. They worked on me. They put me into the EMS. I crashed again. And they worked on me for almost an hour in front of our house. Got me to the hospital. And as soon as they were pulling me into the emergency room on the cart, I died again. But this time I flatlined for 14 minutes. And they were actually calling my time of death. And they were pulling the sheet over my face. And somebody in the room said, no, we want you to keep shocking him, keep working on him until he's back alive, until you get a heartbeat. And obviously that worked. But I really say that the reason that I was able to get through all of that was because of prayer. Because even before I got to the hospital, there was between 40 and 50 people that were already in the hospital waiting for me, because my daughter got on her phone and she was calling and texting all of her friends and contacts that she had. And they all got to the hospital even before I did. And they were praying for me there. And so when they saw me come in and they saw me crash as I was going into the emergency room, they really started praying. And I really, you know, and that's just the beginning. I mean, I've got several years of things that have happened in my life that the only reason that I'm here is because God has a plan for me and because of the prayer that people, you know, put up for me.
Yeah. So I would love to go back and just talk about that's an awesome story, man. And I want to hear about the 14 minute experience. But before we do, I really want to kind of get into like a relationship. You know, what exactly does a relationship mean? You know, yesterday I was picking up my son at school and there were some girls out there and they were like debating whether or not they should defriend this girl on Facebook, you know, like they really didn't want to do it. And, you know, what a big thing this was going to be if they defriended their best friend on Facebook, and how it's going to send their world into this catastrophic, you know, anxiety state of if she defriends them. And I was just sitting there thinking, like, we have no idea what a friend even means today.
Yeah, we've lost that.
We've lost it, man. And so when you're talking about a friend, like, we really think friends are people that we friend on Facebook. That's not a friend, you know? And then the next step to me is we have a relationship with somebody. So in your mind, what is a relationship with just, I don't know if you want to talk about from like a, from a person standpoint, or even from a relationship with Jesus, what does that look like? That sounds awfully big and intimidating.
Well, a relationship with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, with God the Father, it has to be intimate. It has to be a daily thing. It can't be something that you only run to when you're in trouble or when you need, you know, help or you need an answer. It's got to be a constant thing. And I guess I look at, everybody knows John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should have everlasting life. But it's like, what is that everlasting life? I mean, what does that really mean? And then when you get to John 17, he actually answers that. He says, and this is how you have eternal life or everlasting life. So Jesus is praying. That's that priestly prayer. And he's getting ready to answer that. And he says that you would know the one true God and the son that he sent. And that K-N-O-W, know, is the same as in Genesis. It has the same meaning as when Adam knew Eve. It's that intimacy. It's that one-on-one relationship. And you can't have intimacy if you ignore the person that you're trying to have a relationship with. So you have to spend time, and you have to know when you're to talk and when you're to just sit and listen and wait for that still small voice, wait for that answer, wait for a return to whatever it is that the conversation is. It's against the law now, but in the car, I'm very vocal and I'm moving my hands around when I'm praying. And, you know, my wife said, people just look at you and you're just weird, you know, because there's nobody in the car with you. And so I used to grab my phone and just have the phone up. So people thought I was talking on my phone so I wouldn't look so weird. Of course, now you can't do that. But I just don't even care what I look like anymore. My relationship with the Lord has got to be the most important thing to me, not just because of what I've gone through, but because of how he wants to use me to influence other people's lives. It's not just prayer about me. It's prayer about how I can help build kingdom. And that's really important to me.
That's awesome, man. And I just, you know, at the end of the day, you're right. I mean, it's, you know, I've heard so many people talk about the fact that your prayer life is a constant conversation.
Yeah.
It's a conversation that, you know, that never stops. And you can, and the thing is, you know, God cares about everything. So you can tell him about whatever you want to tell him about. You know, you can be like, man, that was crazy what happened today. And, yeah. You know, at the end of the day, like you said, you know, we're going to call our spouse on the way home.
Yeah.
But you could talk to God on the way home too. Probably have a similar conversation, but you might learn a whole lot more. Right?
Yeah. So that's what I do. When I get into the car, I take the first 15 minutes, no matter where I'm going. I don't have the radio on. I don't have my phone on. As a matter of fact, my phone, as soon as I get in the car, it does its automatic I'm driving thing. And I just spend the 15 minutes with the Lord. And then after that, then I feel like, okay, now I can listen to a podcast or I can listen to music or whatever it is. So that's a big part of my life. It really is. And it's funny because before 2006, it wasn't. Mm-hmm.
It's funny how all that will change for sure. And I know David wanted to get into the 14 minutes. So
yeah, let's talk about you, Jonesy. Let's go. Let's talk about the 14 minutes. And I do want to come back to the constant conversation, because I do think that, you know, we have different conversations in different ways with different people. And I know for me personally, like, my relationship with God is not a audible back and forth. Like, he says, I hear. I think some people like may look at that and go, yeah, well, you don't really hear the, some people do, I guess. I don't. I've never heard the audible voice of God. But my relationship is a worship relationship with God.
Yeah.
Like, I love to just bring in some of the best songs, like 10,000 Reasons and Miracles and, you know, the new song Rattle. Like, I love that. So, like, there's some really good songs. I just love to just be in the presence of the Lord and be alone and let me cry and weep and let me just feel the presence of him and the bigness of how awesome God is, and just be humbled in that more so than, hey God, I need this. So can you do this? You know, like this quid pro quo, J-E $U$, you know, Jesus, that's, I'm not a subscriber to that. I just want to worship him. That's my relationship. I don't know if that's good or bad or not, but that's just where I'm at. I just love to worship him. That's my conversation.
Worship is a lot of, it's not just singing too. I mean, worship is in your prayer life. Worship is in reading his word, you know, we're going to spend eternity worshiping at the throne, at the feet of Jesus, right? We're going to take the crowns that he's given us and we're going to lay it at his feet. We're just going to spend eternity worshiping. So we better get good at it here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that 14 minutes, man. What was it like?
For me, it felt a lot longer than 14 minutes. So it's a heaven experience. I just remember being instantly with Jesus. I was in his presence and we were just standing in a room, and the room was so bright. I even looked at Jesus and I said, why don't I need sunglasses? Because it was so bright. And there was people all over the place. There was people playing. There was people walking around. I saw kids playing. There was a lot of activity. I knew I was in a room, but there was no floor. There was no ceiling. There was no walls that I could see, but it was this huge room. And I was just watching all of this activity, having this conversation with Jesus. And I remember looking over to my left and I saw this person sitting in a chair, but there was no chair there. So it's just really strange. And I started watching what that person was doing. And I saw kids playing around that person. And I remember seeing all of the colors, so here on earth, we see all of these different RGB colors and the mixes of colors. But in heaven, there was so many colors that everything seemed white, even though I could see all of the colors. I can't really explain it verbally, but in my brain, like right now I'm thinking and I can see it in my head exactly what it looks like. And I'm actually getting chills because of what I saw and what I'm remembering. It's just amazing. But you see all of these incredible colors. It all just seemed white. And I look back over to the left side and there were three kids. They're about 18 inches to 24 inches tall and they were playing. And then they jumped in this person's lap and they were laughing and playing in her lap. And all four of them, the three children and this person, turned and looked at me and I recognized them. The person was my grandmother who died a year earlier. And she still looked the same, but she had no wrinkles. She looked younger, which was really strange to me. And then the three kids were actually my kids, because if you know my kids that I have here, they look just like me. I mean, my daughter, she'll go places and people will walk up and they'll say, "Hey, do you know a guy named Greg Ranney?" And she's like, "Oh yeah, that's my dad." And they're like, "Man, you look just like him," you know? So my kids look a lot like me. And it really bothered me because I have four kids and I only saw three kids there. And I really got upset at the Lord because I didn't want to stay there, because I wanted to come back and make sure that whatever I needed to do to get that fourth kid, you know, turned, because I don't want to go through eternity without four of my kids. And I just remember waking up and at the end of my bed was my pastor. He had been my pastor and mentor for 40 plus years. And he was weeping. He was laughing. He was crying. I mean, it was just the strangest thing. And he asked me, he says, do you know what's been going on and, you know, what you've been experiencing. And I told him what I just explained to you. And he says, "Is that all you remember?" I'm like, "Well, that's a lot." And he said, "Well, I've been sitting here for the last 30, 45 minutes, and I've been listening to a face-to-face conversation that you've had with Jesus, and your life is about ready to change." And he says, "Here's several things that are going to change in your life based on the conversation that I was just listening to." And it took up until, now it was in 2006, and it took up to 2022 that the last thing happened, that I was released to start doing some things. And it was a simple word. It was now. I had someone come to me several years ago that I didn't know very well. And that person came up to me and said the weirdest thing to me. He says, "The Lord wants me to tell you something." And I'm really very cautious when people want to speak something over me. But for some reason, I let this person go ahead and share with me. And they said, "The Lord's telling me to collect all of the dots before you start connecting all of the dots." And I was like, "Okay, dude, where's that in the Bible?" You know, I had no clue what they were even talking about. And I just kind of put that on a shelf and just left it set. And a couple of years later, someone that I do know came up to me that doesn't even know this other person. They have no clue who this other person was. And they came up to me and they said, "Hey, I got this weird thing that I think I'm supposed to tell you." And I'm like, "Okay, well, I trust this guy." And he said, "The Holy Spirit's telling you, go ahead and start connecting the dots."
Wow.
Are you kidding me? You know, and so that spoke into my life. And I started really praying into that, because when you get something like that, it's like, you really have to pray about that. What does that even mean?
Yeah.
And the Lord literally was like, "Okay, I've put you through all of this stuff, all of the physical things, all of the spiritual things, all of the financial things, everything that you've gone through, and you've seen the direction that I want you to go, and you've collected everything that you need to collect. Now I want you to start putting those things together and start going the direction that I've called you to go." Mm. And it just flipped my world upside down.
Wow.
So prayer for me is, it's less conversation. It's more intimacy. I mean, there's a lot of conversation, but he knows everything anyway. So I pour my heart out. Things that I'm really embarrassed to even talk about, I'll just verbally say it out loud, because if I can hear it, as embarrassing as it is, or as treacherous as it may seem, I know he's hearing it And I think that's really strengthened our relationship. It's helped me to understand who he is. And so anyway, so a couple weeks later, I was kind of complaining to the Lord about that heaven experience because I didn't get a feeling of which one of my kids I needed to, you know, really work on. And I remember one night I was just kind of arguing with the Lord and kind of just yelling at him, I was angry. And this is the only time I've ever heard something verbal. I just heard the word shut up. And I literally froze. Like, you know, when you hear a noise at night, 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, and you can't move, but your eyes, you're trying to figure out where that noise came from. You know, I was frozen.
That's funny.
And that's the only verbal thing that I've ever heard. But then I heard in my spirit, just listen. And what I heard was, those are not your earthly children that you currently have. Those are the ones that your wife miscarried. And your family and I are here raising them until you guys are here to take over. I understood at that point what the next dot was, that was going to be a part of my testimony that I share with people openly in large congregations or small prayer meetings or coffee shops, wherever I'm invited, to let women know that if you've had abortions in your past or if you've had miscarriages in your past, turn your life over to Jesus, because they're up there and they're being raised by your family and by Jesus, and they're waiting for you to come and take over. Dude, I've had people, I kid you not, my wife and I've done it at a couple places where women will come up to us afterwards bawling, married for 30 plus years. And they're like, I had an abortion when I was a teenager, never even told my husband. And they're getting ready to now go tell their husband. We've had women that are, you know, in their 20s, had an abortion, and my family doesn't even know. And they just carry this heavy burden and this weight of guilt and shame and disappointment in themselves and feeling like they can't have a relationship with God because of the sin that was in their life. And then we have women that come up that, you know, they had miscarriages and they just carry this heavy burden. I had no idea that women carried this burden. You know, when a guy, you know, like my wife, she had those 3 miscarriages, and yeah, it's hard for you, but as a guy, you don't carry it as a burden. But when I told my wife that part of the heaven experience and that conversation with the Lord, she literally broke down for 2 days, locked herself in our bedroom, and I didn't see her for 2 days because she felt she did things that were wrong. She felt that, you know, she worked too hard, or she was on a horse for too long, or she did things that caused it. And so she was carrying that heavy burden and all of that weight. And she had to pray through that. And so it brought us closer together. And I started to understand by talking to all these women and hearing their side of it, just how heavy it is on their hearts. And it really helps them get through a real tough time. So as a guy, I'm able to talk about this stuff, and women are able to get freedom.
That's amazing, man. That is so good. 'Cause you're right. I mean, you know, we don't know the type of burden, whether, you know, it's guilt or confusion or anxiety or whatever that comes from those moments. You know what I mean? And to have just a shred of hope that says, hey, these kids are okay. Yeah. And they're just waiting for you to come. Yeah. They're just waiting for you to come get them when it's God's time. I can't imagine. And you're right. I think that's a good word for it, with the kind of freedom that somebody feels in that, when it's like, hey, it's okay. I mean, it's the same idea. I think in the New Testament, we see so many times where Jesus looks at somebody and he tells them, you know, go and sin no more. Your sins are forgiven. And it's like, you don't understand, you know what I mean? How heavy that is in that time period, in that context, what those words actually mean.
Yeah.
In the Jewish context.
I'm working with a lot of men right now. I mean, think about this. People that are not in the church, maybe they're borderline saved, or maybe they are not saved at all, or they've never been in a church. Think about their experience when they come into a church for the first time. We've turned the Western church into a hospital for the believer. So all of the stuff we go through Monday through Saturday as Christians, we're so beat up and we're so destroyed. We go to church on Sunday and we need to get healed and we need to get, you know, some freedom ourselves. What would it look like if our prayer life was so powerful, if our prayer life was so intimate that Monday through Saturday, instead of going through all these trials and tribulations by ourselves and needing to get healing and health on Sunday, what if it looked like victory? What if we did have things, but we just, things that we went through, but because of our relationship with the Lord, we saw victory after victory. And then on Sunday, everybody comes together with all these victories and start talking about all the testimonies and how God was great and how God was good and how he took me through this and took me through that. And then people from the streets, they come in and they're like, whoa, this is different. I want what they have. I want to be a part of that. And so these guys that I'm working with, man, they're going through all of this, you know, between divorces and being in court. I had a guy call me today. His ex-wife just put a warrant out for his arrest. And, you know, guys are addicted to pornography and just all kinds of stuff, lust and stealing. And it's just crazy. And so I'm trying to help them strengthen their prayer life, strengthen their walk with the Lord so that they can go through these and actually have victory. The Lord doesn't tell us that we'll not have persecution. We're going to have persecution. We're going to have struggles. But he gives us help.
Yeah, Greg, you know, I started this podcast because over the last 23 years of doing marketing for Christians all around the world, you know, it's kind of like we get a vision from the Lord and, okay, what do we do now? And mm-hmm. So now we have to go through the destiny, the vision. We know the destiny is to glorify the Lord with our talents and abilities, but really need that vision. We need that strategy. We need clarity and direction in the brand. How do we communicate it? And I just want to just pause for a second here. And once we get to that communication and that branding, prayer is a really big part of R7 and understanding where you need to go in the direction of what God has called you to do. And what I love about your story is, man, it is the glue that has made you successful. And the glue to Voices of Judah Israel is success as well, because obviously you're the leader of that. And so I just really want to just for our audience that's listening and say, look, prayer is real. Yeah. And relationship with him is real. And so like when we get into all this other stuff, like website and email and all that, like there's got to be discernment and there's got to be prayer on the direction that you take your brand. And I love that we're talking about a relationship, because I really strongly believe that the devil's agenda is to kill, steal, and destroy. And if you do a little research, not you guys, but like just those that are listening out there, but like if you do a little research on the devil's logo, it's not the Starbucks logo. Okay. it's actually arrows in every direction. Like yeah. He wants you confused. And he does not want you praying for direction and clarity.
Right.
He does not want you having a relationship with him to understand the purpose and passion in your life. Yeah. And so when I really talk about relationship and God's loving nature, like I don't know that the world wants us loving each other. I think the world wants us polarized. I think it wants us in our corner. I think they want this. This is what scared me most. Not how I was going to survive through COVID, but what scared me most is the world was isolated.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And in that isolation was doubt, fear, anxiety, and stress. Mm-hmm. And that's what the adversary wants. I mean, I think it's a miracle we came out of COVID and are still operating in the world. But I know we've talked about, you know, just in our pre-production meeting here, Dave, you're going to read 1 John 4:7-8 about God's loving nature. And I really feel like this is a scripture that could really pull some of you through when you're listening or watching this podcast, about a relationship and like having a loving nature. So yeah, Dave, do you mind reading that?
No, I'd love to. And, you know, I think, you know, when we think about love in the New Testament, all the time you think about Paul, 1 Corinthians 13, and this is John speaking. So it's a different author, the different take on this, which I love. So there, you know, in 1 John 4:7-8, he starts out and this is what John says. He says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God, and everyone who loves God has been born of God and knows God." Okay, so if you read the beginning of John's gospel, we're starting again in this, we're weaving around with where John's taking us. So then he says this, "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." Hmm. So it's this idea that, you know, we need to love each other. And if you weave your way through it, you get to all the way to the end is we love one another because God is love. And you're not going to be known. You're not going to be a part of who God is if you're not a loving person loving somebody else. Now, does that mean you agree with everything they say? No, that doesn't mean you agree with everything they say. I didn't read that in there. I don't think you did either, that it says, hey, as long as you agree with everybody, we're good. No. Agreement doesn't matter. What matters is that you love them, you know? And I think, you know, for our listeners, you know, for some of you that are pastors that are listening to this, you're still, you know, you're dealing with how do I handle some of the LGBTQ issues in my church? How do I handle that? How, you know, what do I do? It's been a hot topic at the local church level for a long time, you know, and you're trying to balance this idea of the truth of the gospel. And then with love, you know, is we are called, that's just one example. We are called to love people, even that look different than us, that sound different than us, that believe in something different, because again, for love comes from God, and everyone who loves God has been born of God and knows God. And whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love.
Greg, in your 14 minutes or longer, did you feel that love, that presence of, can you talk about that?
I was, when I first woke up, I was extremely angry that I was here, even though I asked to be.
You're angry because you came back to Earth.
I was angry, and I didn't understand it. And my pastor told me, he says, it's like when Moses went up to the mountain and he had God's glory all over him. He had to come down and he had to put a bag over his head basically to cover that glory because of the fear that the Israelites had. And then it would dissipate, it would go away and get back to normal. And he said, that's going to be the same thing, that that peace that I sensed, you know, the Bible talks about the peace that surpasses all of our understanding. We can't even comprehend it. I felt it. And when you come back to Earth and you have all the chaos, Dave, you said something that was exactly right. It's the truth. And we have to be careful because there's two kinds of truths. Mm-hmm. There's biblical truth and there's a cultural truth. Mm-hmm. If you love those LGBTQ plus or any sin, doesn't matter what sin is, that just seems to be the hot topic. If you love based on a cultural truth, you'll confuse as a pastor. I'm a pastor. If I would preach on cultural truth, you would confuse the people that would be hearing it. And it would be confusing to the LGBTQ plus. But if you love based on biblical truth, then it's received. Even the people that are LGBTQ plus or whatever sin they're in, it doesn't matter what the sin is. If you're preaching based on a biblical truth in love, the reception is totally different. Even if you don't see it at the beginning, the seed that's planted is totally different than bringing cultural truth. Look at the confusion that's in the world right now. Love, Dave, you were talking about love. The love that the world talks about is a selfish love. Mm. What's in it for me? WIFM, tune in nightly, you know? We'll love somebody as long as I get something in return.
Right.
Where the biblical love is you give up your life for your friend. Or a stranger, you know, you're sacrificing. That's what Jesus did. You know, if you read the next few verses, it talks about how God is love because of what his sacrifice was. And that's true love. And I know some pastors that are friends of mine that are preaching a cultural truth love, and it's causing a lot of chaos. And it's not right.
I think to Dave's point before we even read the scripture, I mean, you know, the enemy thrives on chaos.
Yeah.
The enemy thrives on isolation. I think back over my life, I've made the worst mistakes in isolation.
Mm, yeah.
You know, and that is what he wants. I don't care what your role is, what you do, what you mean to your family. If he can get you isolated so that your focus is on yourself, you're 3/4 of the way there to making some pretty big, bad decisions.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the same idea is if we can, it's like, you know, if you can cause chaos, and I think, you know, if you study and you look at some of even the way that we've looked to defend our country from terrorism, a big part of terrorism is to cause chaos. I'm going to cause chaos over here so I can do this over here. You know what I mean? I want to, and so, I mean, there's a lot of truth to the fact that, you know, chaos kills, and it definitely can kill a church if you're not careful.
several years ago, I was asking a pastor, I guess, I don't know. I was just asked a question. I'm like, hey, are you a Republican or Democrat? and by my question, you could probably know where he was leaning. But anyway, he looked at me and he said, Dave, I stopped looking around a long time ago. I started looking up. And I thought, that has stuck with me for so many years. And I think that, you know, the truth, the cultural truth, Greg, that you're talking about, which is super powerful, like that cultural truth has a little bit of biblical truth and right. a lot of lies.
Yeah.
And so like, and we just get turned around on what is like, even you making a difference, I think is a powerful statement of biblical truth and cultural truth. And so I, you know, the truth is in the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, that's where it's at, you know, and I'm kind of like, I'm just kind of tired of this is my truth. This is your truth. Yeah. I mean, I'm just so sick of that conversation. Like, let's talk about the biblical truth, and nobody yeah. cares about your feelings anymore. Okay. We're done with that. The pendulum's swinging. You know, you yeah. got to get back to what your purpose and passion is and how you're fulfilling that. The whole DEI and the woke movement, oh. like it just fires me up because, you know, it's got to be about your skill and your passion, your talent, your experience, you know, your education. And, you know, and that's when you put all that together, that's called wisdom. You know, and getting hired for those reasons, getting put in positions of authority for those reasons, not because of your skin color. That's just an yeah. awful mistake. And that's just not truth. It's just that's not loving somebody to me. That's putting somebody up for failure. That's abusive. Anyway, I just got fired up there.
So, no, I like that. Yeah. But I mean, in today's world, you know, and I'm interested to hear what you guys think about this, but in today's world, in any kind of dialogue you're going to have with people, even if it at some point turns into debate, it all comes down to the source of truth. Well, I looked at this website, or I listened to this person, they're the truth. Well, then I looked at this and they're the truth. And you're fighting back and forth as to whose source of truth is more legit.
Right.
Where when we start talking about biblical truth, that becomes pretty absolute pretty quick.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you talked about chaos a couple minutes ago, David, and there's a message that I preach that, you know, Satan wants to bring the chaos because it brings distraction. And if he can distract enough Christians off of their purpose, off of what their gifts, talents, and abilities are that God wants to use to build kingdom, you know, all of the social media that we have, how many Christians get triggered?
Right.
You know, when they get on their social media, it's a distraction. And that distraction takes you off of point. And so I'm not saying we need to get off of social media. I use social media. I think it's a great tool that we can use, but you have to be really disciplined and you can't allow yourself to get triggered, and you have to use it for good. And it can be used for good.
Yeah, which brings us in our next scripture, Matthew 26:41. It's the strength to avoid temptation. And I think this is so prevalent, more so than our passion and our talent. I think those kind of words have been overused, but it doesn't negate the fact that it's true. And that's where we need to follow his path for us and glorify him, you know, is the destiny, which is short for, you know, the journey is the destination in my mind. And so, Dave, do you mind reading that?
Yeah. You know, and we just moved through Holy Week. We just moved through Easter. And, you know, the context in this verse is, you know, Jesus is going off to pray. It's at night and his disciples are falling asleep. And this is what Jesus says to Peter and to his disciples. He says, wash and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, that is so powerful, man. That is, wow. Our flesh is weak, man. So good. This is probably why you were upset when you came back, right?
Yeah, let this cup, pass from me. You know, have you ever just sat in a room by yourself and said, okay, I'm going to spend an hour just praying. Mm-hmm. Just spend 1 hour. And, you know, like 7 minutes goes by and you're like looking at your watch and you're like, oh my gosh, I thought that was like 45 minutes, you know?
What do I talk about now?
You know, the biggest reason is because we don't practice our prayer life. And there's nothing wrong with just saying whatever comes to your mind. Just keep practicing your prayer life. I've been very blessed to be around some prayer warriors that have really inspired me, that have mentored me. And I listen to their prayers and I just, oh my gosh, it's just overwhelming how they pray. I've got one that just prays scripture and knows more scripture than anybody I've ever been around. And it's so powerful. And then I've got another one that just prays in such an intimate way. And you listen to it and it's like, man, your relationship with the Lord is powerful. It's just amazing. So I've had those influences in my life. And I think that when you talk about the isolation, that's huge. We do. We isolate ourselves. Yeah. And that's the time, especially with men, that's when we get into trouble. You know, we get into sin, and then with that sin, then we feel guilt and shame. And then that guilt and shame separates us from God. And then you don't want to pray, you know, you want to crawl under a rock.
Yep.
And so, yeah, you have to practice that prayer life, and it's really important.
So as we wind down here, what would you say for somebody who just doesn't have a prayer life? Like what would be some getting started tips and some things that they may feel from your perspective, Greg? Like, why don't they pray? You know, does it have to be perfect?
No.
You know, how do you start? You know, what are your suggestions here?
I mean, it's real simple. Just start. It's not any more complicated than that. A lot of men have never been discipled or mentored. Most men, most pastors have never had a disciple. And so they've never had it really modeled for them. You know, if you ask any man, did your father pray at the dinner table or did your father pray with you before going to bed? Most men say, no, they've never seen that. So it's never been modeled. So they don't know how to do it. Get a book that has just a bunch of prayers in it and just start reading those prayers. Get into the Bible and look up the prayers that the disciples prayed, that Jesus prayed. Start praying those prayers. Go into the Psalms. David prayed almost nonstop. You go to Psalm 40. You know, it says that he waited patiently for the Lord. You know, what do you think he was doing during that time? He was praying. He was interceding for everything that he was going through. And you get into Psalm 34, he was praying. Psalm 34:4 got me through a lot of pain and suffering. David cries out to God. That's your prayer. I sought the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from all of my fears. You know, and right now with the way culture is, with the way the world is, there's a lot of fear because there's a lack of hope. Start pleading with the Lord to take away those fears. Seek him, you know, seek, ask, and knock. I know that's not in the right order, but just start.
Yeah, and it's funny you bring up the Psalms. I agree with you because for me, you know, one of the most powerful, you know, Psalms that I love to read and pray and kind of meditate on is Psalm 121. I think we talked about that in you hinted at it for a second as we were talking before we came on today about the fact that, you know, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, and he watches over you and he's not going to slumber. Indeed, he's not going to sleep. So God is working. It helps me feel better knowing if I can't solve my problem, God's working on it while I sleep.
Yeah.
That's what David says. He's literally working on my issue, my challenge while I sleep. And just maybe tomorrow when I wake up, he might be able to communicate to me what's going to happen or what's going to go on or what is my next step. You know, to your point is, you know, that God's leading you on a journey, you know, through whether, you know, and Dave, we talk about this, whether it's in a peak or a valley, God's still leading you on that journey.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're listening to this out here, Greg, I'd love you to get some feedback on that, Dave. That was awesome. You know, I know in my prayer life, like there are certain things that I want, the things out of my flesh that I want, you know, and there's certain direction in my life that I want to take. And, you know, sometimes I don't know which way to go. And so when I pray about that, I don't look for the answer immediately. Mm-hmm. You know, I look at it through confirmation of what somebody may say or things that are happening around me that I go, okay, that I don't believe in coincidences. I just prayed for that. And somebody just said that. Okay, I'm just going to wait in that and I'll pray some more. Just hearing something or something in my intuition. It's very rare an audible voice. Mm-hmm. And so I may have something else that'll happen that'll come together and go, okay, maybe I should move in that direction. I just really want to emphasize, and Greg, you feel free to push back on me on this, but whenever you feel like that confirmation is there and those two or three things that are happening and you've already prayed for that, I would just really encourage you to reach out to a mentor and say, yeah, here's what I'm thinking, you know, because I know there's some pretty sick people in the world that have prayed about assassinating people or, you know, having an affair on their wife and go, you know, this is God's, like God told me to do this. I would just really encourage you before you make a move to really reach out to a mentor, a Christian mentor, if you can, and say, hey, here's what I'm thinking. And, you know, a lot of times if it's good for everyone and your family. If it's bad for everybody, you know? And so just really reach out and say, this is the direction I'm thinking. Like, for instance, maybe it's a job or career change, you know? You know, sometimes we you know, need direction in what we're doing there and like to stop what you're doing immediately and go chase something else. I would say, you know what? You can always look for another job while you have your current job because you got financial responsibilities. Mm-hmm. You know, quitting wouldn't be the most wisest decision at this particular moment. So anyway, Greg, what do you think of that?
You know, here's what I believe.
Yeah.
The Bible's very clear. It says, seek first the kingdom and then all these things will be added to you. So if you seek his kingdom, what father isn't going to want to give you whatever those desires are that he placed in you anyway? Mm-hmm. And so I'm a firm believer that he wants to give us the desires of our heart because he says that in his word. But I think if we only focus on those things, it becomes selfish and it's about you. But if you focus on kingdom, you know, that's what Jesus preached on most. He didn't preach much on himself. He preached about kingdom. Yeah, he said he was the door. He said he was the way. He said he was a shepherd and those things. But look at what he preached on. He preached on kingdom principles. You know, heaven is like this. Kingdom is like this. That was his focus. And I think if we have that same focus, then he'll honor that. And he wants to give us those desires. He just does.
Dave, I'll give you the final thought.
Final thought. I think at the end of the day, you know, I think the last few minutes hopefully encourages everybody the most is you just got to start.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think with anything that's good that takes time and discipline, it's not a box to check, but you know, whatever day today is for you that you're listening, start a conversation with God. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I'll do is I'll put a reminder in my phone at a certain time every day. And it says, talk to God. My kids have seen it. They're like, Dad, it says talk to God. I'm like, okay, well, we can do that together. You know, to begin to get into a habit, and I love what you talked about, Greg, is your first 15 minutes of any drive, you know, checking in, you know, with your Heavenly Father is important. But there's nothing in that time that's off limits.
Right.
It's not like he doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you take the time to actually talk to him about it opens you up to then hear back from him. So I think to me, that's one of the biggest things. And I hope you hear this. It doesn't matter if you're unchurched, de-churched, not churched. It doesn't even matter if you're a pastor. I know for me in my years in ministry, there were definitely days and weeks where it was like, yeah, I'm doing, you know, it's kind of the old Bill Hybels quote, you know, that, you know, that I was doing the work of God, but it was removing the work of God in me.
Mm.
You know, that I was so focused on all the things I had to do on a church staff that I couldn't even take the time to actually check in with my own Heavenly Father. So even if you're a pastor, think about it. There are moments and times for you too. So I you know, I don't know about you, Dave, but for me, today is a great reminder, very encouraging of, hey, you know, we have this powerful thing in front of us called prayer that if we choose to use it, can change our life and the lives of so many other people.
That's powerful. Cool. Greg, thank you for joining us on this special podcast of prayer. It's our first prayer podcast. Awesome. I do want to give a special thanks to our sponsor, M is Good. If you want to learn more about M is Good, go to msgood.com. I enjoy coming on here every week and just talking about the power of R7. And I just want to encourage you that destiny awaits, but time does not. We'll see you next week. Thanks again for joining us. I want to give special thanks to our sponsor, M is Good. If you want to learn more about M is Good, go to msgood.com. Join us again next week as we continue to uncover the secrets to success with faith-based testimonies and the power of R7. Remember, destiny awaits, but time does not.